message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Please have your seats. God bless you all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Tonight is going to be a night of wonders for you and I in the name of Jesus. If you believe that tonight will be a night of wonders for you, can you shout hallelujah? I want to appreciate our Father and the Lord for this great opportunity that He has given unto me once again to stand before the people of God. If you are clapping your hands to celebrate this great man, you can do better than that. Hallelujah. I pray that the Lord will bless you, sir, in the name of Jesus. The oil on your head will never run dry in the name of Jesus. Greater glory, greater anointing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Also, let's celebrate Mama in the house this evening. Ma will celebrate you. And we pray that the Lord will bless you more and more in the name of Jesus. Tonight, we'll be speaking on signs and wonders via self-discipline. Yesterday, we talked about signs and wonders via giving. And tonight, we want to go a step further. You know, I want you to know that all these teachings, they are for equipping. They are to equip us for signs and wonders. But I just want to charge us briefly tonight that one key thing that you need for that thing for you to enjoy all that we have been teaching is the grace to obey instructions. You know, Pastor Ebenezer made us to pray that prayer yesterday that God will give us the grace to obey instructions. It is not unto him that runneth, or unto him that willeth, but it is of God that sheweth mercy. I want you to know that until you obey, mercy door will not be open. And I pray for somebody tonight that the grace to obey is released unto you in the name of Jesus. The book of Galatians chapter 5, I read from verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Hallelujah. Temperance means self-discipline. Self-discipline means self-control. The scripture is clear about the issue of self-discipline. And the Bible exposes to us in clear terms the dangers of lack of self-discipline. And I want you to know that our God is a God of discipline. It's not just a wishy-washy God that does things anyhow. No. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that makes me to understand that God wants you and I to work in certain ways. We are not just to work anyhow or behave anyhow or do things the way we want. Turn your Bible with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll be reading verse 25 down to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 down to 27. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Praise the Lord. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight, not as one that beateth the hair. But I keep under my body, bringing it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now what the scripture is telling us here is that, look, we are not to run the race as we like. We are to run the race by the rules. Praise the Lord. And for you to enjoy signs and wonders, you need the grace for self-discipline. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7, I'll be reading the NIV version. The Bible says, for the Spirit of God has not given us the Spirit, for the Spirit God gave us, NIV, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Hallelujah. Sound judgment there is interpreted self-discipline. Praise the Lord. So the Spirit that God has given to you when you give your life to Christ or when you become born again is the Spirit of love, power, and self-discipline. And we need to understand that we are called to a life of discipline. Praise the Lord. No man can encounter wonders without a price. And one of such price that we must pay for wonders is the price of discipline. You know, discipline is one of the things that most Christians need. Yet, it's one of the least things that Christians want. It's one of the most important things in our Christian work. But that is one of the things that many of us don't like at all. Many don't like to be disciplined. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What is self-discipline? Number one, the ability to control one's feeling and overcome one's weakness. The ability to control one's feeling and overcome one's weakness. Number two, self-discipline is the ability to do whatever you need to do, even when you don't want to do those things that are necessary. The ability and the grace to do things that is required of you in righteousness, even when you don't want to do them, but they are necessary. You know, there are some things that are necessary, but the flesh will not want you to do it, because the flesh has its own way. Number three, self-discipline is the ability to walk away from the demands of the flesh, even when it is difficult. The ability to walk away from the demands of the flesh. That is when they say the man is a temperate man. He's a man that has self-control. That means this man has been able to conquer the flesh. He has been able to subdue the flesh and to control the flesh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number four, self-discipline is the willpower to control oneself or one's behavior without needing anyone else to tell you to do so. The willpower. You know, if a little boy, little children are naturally not much of discipline. It is the mother that instills most of the discipline in a child. That's why the Bible said, spare not the rod. Because if you spare the rod, the child will spoil. Praise the Lord. So the mother disciplines the child so that the child can understand certain things. Praise the Lord. But when you grow to adulthood and you still need somebody to tell you what to do or how to do certain things, it means you are not yet disciplined. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Quickly, I'll be looking at types of discipline. Number one type of discipline is spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline can be described as those behaviors that support and encourage our work with God and help us to grow into spiritual maturity. Spiritual discipline can be described as those behaviors that support and encourage our work with God and help us to grow into spiritual maturity. I tell you, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, we need to study the Word of God for us to grow. Now, the studying of the Word of God is one of the spiritual discipline or spiritual exercise that you must do for you to grow. Praise the Lord. And God wants us to be spiritual disciplined, because you cannot walk with God if you are not spiritually disciplined. You cannot walk with God if you are not what? Spiritually disciplined. Titus chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible says, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. That's New King James Version. Temperate means self-controlled. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, a just man, lover of what is good, sober-minded. Praise the Lord. Holy, self-controlled. Those are the requirements that is required for you. You know, spiritual discipline is not how much prayer you can pray, or how much church you attend, or how much songs you can sing. It is about your walk with God. It is about your relationship with God. And many a times, many come to church, but they don't have spiritual discipline. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Your spiritual depth is a measure of how disciplined you are spiritually. Your spiritual depth is a measure of how disciplined you are spiritually. When we talk about spiritual discipline, we are talking about the ability to do the things that encourages spiritual growth. One of which is the study of the Word of God. Another one is fasting. A lot of people cannot discipline themselves to fast. One of the most difficult ones is to wake up at night to pray. Vigils. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another spiritual exercise that is needed for you to be disciplined spiritually is evangelism. And a lot of people don't want to do evangelism or don't like doing evangelism. If I take a census now, and I said in the past 2 weeks, how many of us share the gospel with at least a soul? I know the answer I will get, so there's no need. Praise the Lord. It may be good, it may not be good. So we are not going to ask ourselves, but ask yourself, how often do I go out on evangelism? The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. I want you to know that until you begin to get yourself involved in certain spiritual exercise, you cannot enjoy spiritual discipline. And if you are not disciplined spiritually, you cannot enjoy depth spiritually. Depth spiritually comes as a result of spiritual discipline. I want you to know that deeper things cannot be accessed easily. Precious things are not easily accessible. You don't see gold on the surface. You don't see oil. Oil. Crude oil. You don't see it on the surface. It's either you go into the deep sea or you go very deep digging, hundreds of kilometers down before you can access it. You know why? Because it is precious. So the more discipline you have, the more the depth you have spiritually. Praise the Lord. And you know, spiritual discipline controls every other forms of discipline that we'll be talking about tonight. And that's why I'm spending some time on this. If you are not disciplined spiritually, you cannot be disciplined in several other ways that we'll be talking about tonight. And that is why each and every one of us, we must understand that our work with God is not play-play. It is not play-play. It is not just coming to church, dancing, singing, say one or two prayers, then go home. How often have you picked your notes and go over those things that you have learned? How many of those things you have learned have you put into practice? It takes discipline to do all those things. And I tell you, it is in the doing of these things that you experience deeper revelation and deeper understanding of the things of God in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number two is physical discipline. This one, many of us do it often. Physical discipline is the use of physical force or practice to control someone or self into subjection. This is done in order to achieve certain physical goals, physical discipline. For example, athletes, they wake up in the morning and jog, do push-up. Footballers, they go for trainings. Say, I'm going for my training. Musicians, say, I'm going for practice. Then they practice playing the keyboard over time. You know, that was the time I read in the book. They said, for you to master, to become a master in any field, you must have practiced that thing for minimum of 10,000 hours. That is, if I will become a professional driver, I must have clocked 10,000 hours of driving. If I will be a professional footballer, I must have played at least 10,000 hours of practice on football. If I be a professional keyboardist, I must have been on the keyboard for not less than 10,000 hours. He said, by the time you do that, certain things in your brain will begin to work in autopilot when you are doing that particular thing. But that profit little. The profit in this is very little. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. The Bible says something there. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, that is, has self-control in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. but we are incorruptible. Physical discipline can only guarantee you earthly benefit. Praise the Lord. But spiritual discipline gives you incorruptible benefit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, but it is also still very much important that we need to understand that we must discipline ourselves also physically. Praise the Lord. It takes physical discipline for you to know that it is time for me to wake up. You know, some people cannot wake up in the morning to pray. Recently, I was discussing with somebody, and the person said, now that children are about to resume to school, I hope we'll be able to wake up early enough to get ready for school. Because now we are used to sleeping longer than normal. Praise the Lord. It takes discipline. Physical discipline. And you know, many of us enjoy physical discipline, but we don't want to do spiritual discipline. That's why you see people going to play football early in the morning, sweating. But the same person has not opened a scripture to read that morning, or will not do the whole day. The whole day. The same person will not pick a book to read the entire year. At the beginning of every year, you must have the goals of what you want to achieve, spiritual, physical, and otherwise. It's amazing. A lot of people don't read. A lot of people don't read. There's a saying that if you want to hide something from a black man, put it in a book. Don't make that mistake with some black people. We have some of them in the house. If you make that kind of mistake with Papa, you are making a big mistake. Your secret will be discovered the next day. Or you make that kind of mistake with somebody like myself, by the next day, I've discovered it, because by the next day, I've finished reading the book. But sincerely, a lot of people will not open the book. They will just look at the cover, look at the front, look at the cover. It's not fine. It's not nice. And you know, most treasures are hidden. Most treasures are hidden. You don't see treasures flying here and there. So it takes discipline for you to assess treasures. Number three, emotional discipline. This is the ability to understand your emotions and to control your emotions. The ability to channel one's emotion to the right path for something purposeful and productive. That is called emotional discipline. And I tell you, this is where the big problem is. You have people that have a little of spiritual discipline, but they can't control their emotions. That's why you see a Christian speaking with tongue, but anger is a problem. Can't control the emotions. I always tell my kids that, look, you are not responsible for somebody else's actions, so don't get angry because of what somebody else has done. Yesterday, somebody wanted to make me angry. I told Papa, I called Papa, I said, sir, I will not be angry. I purposely said it because I don't want to be angry. Because what the person was doing would naturally would have made me angry. I said, I refuse to be angry. I told him, I said, you won't make me angry because I'm fasting. That's another reason why I must not be angry. Nevertheless, whatever you do, it got to a point, may God have mercy. I couldn't hold myself. So I have to say it. I said, I will not be angry. I refuse to be angry. You know, that is the ability. It takes a lot of discipline to control your emotions. When somebody is doing something that is seemingly stupid, something that doesn't make sense at all, and the person is still trying to let you know that this thing makes all the sense. Hello? You can see it now. Everybody's laughing. You will get angry. But your ability to say, no, I won't be angry, is self-discipline. That's the ability to control your emotions. You see, your emotion is the source of your decisions. And when you don't control it, you make decisions that lead to destructions. You make decisions that lead to errors. And signs and wonders don't follow error. Doesn't work with error. It's not a game of chance. Hallelujah. We must be able to control our emotions so as not to fall victim of it. Never let your emotion get the better of you. Learn to control it and manage your emotions and your reactions. Praise the Lord. Our feelings are sources of our decisions. That is why Esau, he couldn't control his emotions. And I tell you, Jacob already knew that this guy is weak in this area. The hunger, the Bible made it clear, was actually hungry. How many of us know that hunger is characteristic of your emotion? It's linked to your emotions. Your appetite is linked to your emotions. That's why you see sometimes when some people are depressed, they eat more. Why some will lose their appetite? Some when they are not happy, that's the time they will eat more. Some when they are not happy, that is the time they will not eat. Praise the Lord. It's associated with your emotions. So hunger is linked to your emotions. So Esau could not control his emotions. And that was why he sold his birthright. He lost the signs and wonders that was following Abraham. Isaac could have been Esau. It now shifted to Jacob. Because the order of God cannot be broken. But I tell you, the Bible says, he sought it with tears. But the thing has passed. Sometimes, one chance may be the only chance. Praise the Lord. So you mustn't allow your emotions to have the best of you. Don't take any decisions when you are not emotionally stable. It could lead to error. It can cost you your signs and wonders. Ladies that are here, when a guy comes and he has boosted your emotions and put you on a very high level and you're already floating, don't take decisions. Let your brain calm down. Come back to from the excited state to the grand level state before you take your emotions. You take your decisions. Because at that level, because ladies, women are moved by what they hear. So the guy knows that I need to talk. And he start talking and saying things that are sweet. You are the apple of my eye, the sugar in my tea, the cockroach in my cupboard. On and on. I don't know most of those things anyway. On and on. You see, and the guy have finished you and has worked on your emotions. Your emotion is now clouded and you take decisions. It can lead to error. Don't make judgment when you are not emotionally grounded. And it takes a lot of discipline, self-discipline, to control our emotions. As a guy, don't ever take decisions when you are angry. Say, because of what you have done from today. And once you say it, it's difficult to recount it. Control yourself. Control your temper. Control yourself. And as you do this, may we enjoy signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. In Judges chapter 16, from verse 1, I'm going to read that later. And I'm still going to talk about that. Samson was another man that could not control his emotions. At one point, he got angry and went and burned the whole crop of the Philistine. At another time, he would go and do this one. He was emotionally unstable. And that cost him his destiny. He was a man of signs and wonders. But he lost the anointing for signs and wonders placed upon his life. And he became a ridicule of the enemy. May you not be a ridicule for your enemies in the name of Jesus. Number 4, financial discipline. I'm going to run now because of my time. It's almost up. Financial discipline is the ability to conform to simple and right financial principles. Money must not become the Lord. Money should be the servant. You know, financial discipline is making a conscious effort to acquire, preserve, and increase your wealth in righteousness. Lack of financial discipline has made many to lose their life and make a lot to make a shipwreck of their destiny. Money is good. I'm not saying money is not good. Anybody that tells you that money is not good is not the truth. Even the Bible says, money answereth what? All things. But the love of money is the root of all evil. A lot of people lack financial discipline, and that is why they cannot enjoy the life of signs and wonder. You can imagine somebody who has made millions before, who is now begging. I've seen life, not in movie, life. Somebody who has made millions, and at a particular point in his life, he was virtually begging to survive. Live the reckless life financially. Go and rent an hotel, pay for 1 year upfront. 1 year. And be bringing girls today, black, white, blue, green, every day. Squander the money. The money has wings. The Bible says it can fly away. and it is not properly managed. And that is why we must develop financial discipline for us to enjoy signs and wonders. Mama talked extensively about this yesterday, so I won't be talking about some things. But I want us to understand that your life, the betterment of your life is connected to how stable you are financially. Praise the Lord. And it takes financial discipline for you to enjoy certain wonders in your finances. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 11. Wealth gained by dishonesty will diminish, but he that gathers by labor will increase. I want you to know that in all your financial dealings, you must express and show financial discipline. Honesty is one of such financial discipline. You're in a place, you're the one that buys everything, and they give you something to buy. You put your own on top. And you say, how do I put it in English? Like Papa would say, in my place, any yara. It's a useless thing. Even the Ogun they are talking about is dead and gone. See, they say, he that helps himself, the world helps. Then you try to help yourself by increasing something on it. I tell you, you are digging your own financial grave. Because wealth gotten illegally does not profit. Rather, it decreases. It doesn't make increase. It does not make increase. I've said this before, many years ago, working in an organization that were owing us salary. I can't remember how many months they were owing us now, but they were owing us some month salary. And I was to go for a training outside the state in Lagos. And I was to prepare the voucher to take the money that I would use for my hotels and all that. And candidly, I'm entitled to sleep in an hotel. But since I'm not sleeping in an hotel, I'm not supposed to take the money. But if I'm going to take the money, I must sleep in the hotel. But I don't want to. So I said, I'm not writing for this. Then one brother, who is a brother or a deacon in the church, said, Oga, write it. Collect it, even if you are not going to use it. In fact, increase it. If it is 10,000, make it 15. I said, why? He said, because they are owing you. I said, this will only bring you down the more. It's not going to increase you. By the way, how many people who are stolen all the wealth in this country? How many of them, when they die, they bury them with the wealth? It's some people that don't even know. You know, when they are stealing, it's not easy. You think it's easy? They are in constant fear. That didn't even work. That didn't pass through any fear. That will squander the whole money. Be honest. Be disciplined financially. Don't waste your money. And don't waste other people's money also. A lot of people, they say, it's not my money. After all, it's not my money. Either we sell, we no sell, I go get my own. So you, because of that, you can never have your own. The Bible says, he that is not faithful in another man's business cannot have his own. You can't. So financially, you must be disciplined. It takes discipline to pay your tithe. Hello? Mama talked about that yesterday. It takes discipline to pay tithe. Most especially before you pay MTN or Glo or Airtel. Most of when we collect our salary, the first thing is to recharge. Meanwhile, we have not paid God, the giver. It takes discipline, financial discipline. Lack of financial discipline make that child, that prodigal son, to squander all the wealth. Thank God for mercy. He would have lost it all. I pray for somebody tonight that God will give you the grace to be financially disciplined in the name of Jesus. Don't be controlled by money if you want to enjoy financial wonders. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 10 says, he who loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. It's vanity. But your financial discipline increases you. No matter the income you are earning, don't go without saving something. You say, sir, you don't know. The money is so small. It's not even enough to take me home. It will take you more than home if you know how to manage it properly. Praise the Lord. And you know, you can't enjoy certain things if you don't do certain things. And I want to encourage us tonight, financial discipline is required in order for us to excel in life and in destiny in the name of Jesus. Quickly, moral discipline. Moral discipline. Moral discipline is the ability to abandon any non-virtuous actions and deeds. Moral discipline is the ability to stay away from non-virtuous, not virtuous actions and deeds. Lack of moral discipline is lack of value for the things of God. And you know, we live in a world of moral decay. The issue of morality is totally lost. And I tell you, without moral discipline, you cannot assess signs and wonders. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. Say, for this ye know, that no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Warmonger there means no one who is not morally disciplined. A lot of people are moral discipline is gone. And because of this, they've traded their life and their wonders. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 7 says something. Mortify, Colossians 3, 5, 7. Mortify, therefore, your members. Mortify, therefore, your members. Colossians chapter 3, not Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the head. Fornications, can you see that? Uncleanliness, inordinate affection. Can you see that? Lack of moral makes somebody to have inordinate affections. Lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You can pronounce it. Don't worry. I know I can't. For which thing's sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also worked sometimes before, when you live in them, but now you are not in them. So don't let it be named among you again. Be disciplined morally. As a young lady, be disciplined morally. Don't do things that will seduce others and make others to seduce you. Don't do things that will make a guy to fall into error, and the guy will now lure you to the error. I know you understand. Don't go to the places you are not supposed to go to. You know, there are some places that are not morally right for you to visit. They are not morally right. And it takes discipline to stay away from such. The Bible says our body is the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Our body is the temple of God. I think verse 18. Our body is the temple of God. 18 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 18 to 20. Our body is the temple of God. Say, flee fornication. Every sin a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Praise the Lord. God wants us to glorify Him in our body and in our spirit. And I pray that God will give us the grace to understand this in the name of Jesus. Example of somebody who has moral discipline is Joseph. And we all know how Joseph ended. Another example is Daniel. Daniel proposes in his heart, I will not defile myself with a portion of the king's meat. Hello? If you find yourself in the house of Dangote now and they serve table before you, and you know the thing they've put there is not right, maybe they've offered it to idol, and you can see when they were doing the idol thing, I say, this thing, no fasting today, I can't miss this. The question is, after 16 hours, that thing is out of your system. No matter what you are eating, 16 hours, it's over. It's out. Moral discipline. You must have it if you want to enjoy wonders. Quickly, because of my time, benefits of discipline. Number one, self-preservation. When you are a disciplined man, you enjoy self-preservation. Lack of moral discipline is what destroys Samson. He has no moral discipline. Go and read the story in Judges chapter 15, 16, and 17. You see how the man ended his life. Access to revelation. That's number two. You enjoy access to revelation. Number three is promotion and upliftment in life. Moral discipline, a disciplined lifestyle is what uplifted Joseph from a prisoner, from a slave to a prisoner, from a prisoner to the palace to become the prime minister. Number four, you profit unto all things. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. For bodily exercise profited a little, but godliness is profitable to all things. Profitable unto all things. And I pray that God will give us the grace to understand that discipline is a vital key in order for us to enjoy signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. As I conclude tonight, I believe that lack of discipline comes from the lack of relationship with God. When you are living an undisciplined life, it shows that you lack relationship with God. As a man, you are still doing things that are not worthy. You can't control yourself when you see a lady. You can't control yourself when you see food. You can't control yourself when you see things that does not glorify God. It's lack of relationship with God. God did not create us to lack discipline. He didn't create us to lack obedience and commitment to His words. It is our choice and our sinful nature that has put us in the position of lack of discipline. And I want you to know that discipline is the key to a life of control, power, and wonders. A person with discipline will live a life of value. A life of value. A man with discipline will live a life of value. May you live a life of value in the name of Jesus. A man of discipline will live a life of impact. A woman of discipline will live a life of impact. And will live a life that glorifies God. A life of greater efficiency. A life of greater effectiveness is available for the man who lives a life of self-discipline. I pray tonight that God will give us the grace to live a life of self-discipline in the name of Jesus. Tonight, while we remain seated, all heads bowed, all eyes closed quickly. My time is up already. I want to just take this. Please, if you know you are here, you have lost it. You are not in the
world. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.com.